All right, so there's a blind couple. There's a
We've allowed you to do this way too long.
There's a deaf couple, right? Okay, so
okay, now
blind.
They're deaf. Okay.
They're deaf. So there's a deaf couple, and they're communicating to each other with sign language, right? And the guy tells her, they both work long hours, and so the wife goes, you know, I don't always want to have sex. And he goes, fine, that's okay. So let's think of signs to tell each other, because we can't talk to each other, obviously. So we need to think of signs to tell each other when we're in the mood and when we're not in the mood. And she goes, okay, well, when I'm in the mood, when you're in the mood, just grab one of my breasts. And when you're not in the mood, you grab both of my breasts. And he goes, okay, that makes sense. And she goes, what do you want me to do? And he goes, okay, when you're in the mood, you grab my hand. And then he goes, and when you're not in the mood, you grab my dick and pull on it multiple times. Sorry, that's...
Wow.
I couldn't get through that one.
You really couldn't.
Wait, say the punchline one more time.
No, I can't get through it now. It's terrible.
Come on, that was good. I liked it. It was solid. just a punchline.
He tells his wife, when you're not in the mood, grab my hand. And when you're in the mood, grab my hand. When you're not in the mood, grab my dick and pull on it multiple times.
I like that one. You didn't like that one, huh, Cloud?
Yeah, it's okay.
Okay. I'm the only one trying.
Anyways,
here.
Take us in. Let's do this.
All right.
What do we got going? Welcome to Tiny Table 3.
Who cares anymore?
Yeah, so welcome to Tiny Table 3. We're three nerds that sit around a tiny table and sometimes with a guest on the couch, which we have today.
Yay!
Today we're talking, our naked wrestling is about hangover shows, those shows that we watch when we've had a little bit too much to drink the night before. Our weekly wrap-up is about Suicide Squad, the new Rogue One trailer, and Gen Con, as well as... Oh, no, actually, and then there is... Sorry.
There's the right game, where Small Stack will be talking about how much he loved the new Harry Potter and the
Sarcasm
Cursed Child book.
Here.
It was absolutely fantastic. You should listen all the way to the review. And if you're a Harry Potter fan and you love the book, you'll really enjoy my review. You can also find me at Small Stack, which is my Twitter handle. And also, you can follow me on Instagram at smallstack_TT3 or read my articles at tinytable3.com.
And then we actually jump over to our advice about the friend zone, the ins and outs of the friend zone. Are there any? Do you just have to be more attractive?
And saying that, we should introduce Milo, who's very familiar with the friend zone.
Anyways, I'm Milo. I'm at Milito's Guitar. You can follow me on Instagram at NightTrain465. Everybody here's an asshole. And,
hey, you've been telling me up from 1912 all day, so...
1915. I think the phone was invented by the time you were around.
And we have an amazing guest on the couch.
Sure,
would you
friend.
Like to introduce yourself?
It is Killer Kina. I don't have Twitter, and so I suck.
You do? Yay. You have a Twitter?
Yeah, I do, but
you can't give
it's
it out.
Kind of lame. No, I have one I can give out, but it's okay.
I can give it out then.
I don't even know what it is.
That's the best answer you possibly could have come up with.
Nice.
Well, welcome to Tiny Table 3, everybody.
I am Cloud City. You can find me at geek_is_in on Twitter and Instagram for the most part. You can find us on Facebook, on Instagram, and on Twitter as Tiny Table 3 collectively, as well as Stack said, tinytable3.com, where you can see from a lot of our amazing writers who also have a lot of opinions. And sometimes we might not agree with them, but we will still let them publish it. Because Stax is a fair man.
Yeah, I publish all kinds of people that can't write.
Other than that, it's a Friday.
Including Milo.
It's a Friday night, so
write.
Let's just do this shit fast and get out of here. I need another drink.
Oh, God, yes. Sounds so good.
And you guys need to get
pee.
To your sausage party.
We're going to
yeah,
sausage
and, and someone's got to pull on my junk. Because they're...
Multiple times, not in the mood.
Because I'm not in the mood. Woo.
All right.
Let's do this shit.
Woo.
Not working.
It's working. It's working real good.
So you've got a friend in me, and you're trying to change it into...
You don't got
stop.
A friend
I'm
in
seriously
me.
Gonna kill you with that thing.
You don't got a friend in me. All right, maybe all right. You got a friend, but your friend's not gonna kiss
you. You tried to kiss me, but it didn't work because I don't think of you.
Because it's weird.
Mic drop.
Wait, hold on, hold on. So we can come up with a verse. So you tried to kiss me, but it didn't work because I think you look like Kurt
Pooh. All right,
you,
let's just.
You wish I would kiss you.
All right, let's get this started because it's a Friday night.
I'm now thinking of the lyrics to this song.
No, well, you better come up with it by the end of advice.
Hold on.
Welcome to Tiny Table 3, where we talk about complete bullshit for about 10 minutes before we actually start the show.
Dirty squirrel.
Dirty squirrel.
Dirty chocolate.
Dirty chocolate.
Is that like poop?
that's the Blocked website version of Dirty Squirrel.
Oh man. I mean, how bad is it if it's blocked? Blocked from who? Like work blocked or like you,
it's
home
blocked? It's when you take a comrade on top of a squirrel.
A comrade? Oh, what's a comrade?
Oh, remember, it's the big Russian shit.
Oh, is the comrade the new Russian
that
shit?
That is, the big Russian shit.
That actually
shit
was
the
German shit last week or last week?
You were talking about some poop fetish and we called it the comrade. Yeah. So
I forgot that that's what it turned out to be. Naked wrestling!
Naked wrestling.
And by the way, those weird sounds, it's just a thing we have plugged in. It sounded out of place a little bit there.
It's coming out of Stax's pants. It's weird.
You just killed the mood.
There's my favorite button right there.
Can I borrow that when I go on?
I got to take a big Russian. Anyway, so Naked Wrestling this week, we're doing the best show to watch with a hangover. So you've spent way too many hours outside at the night times. You've had plenty of drinks.
Yeah.
You watched the sun come up. You've slept for about 48 minutes. And now you're on the couch.
And now life is the worst it's ever been.
Stop. 48 minutes is way too much sleep.
And you slept on the bathroom floor because you were barfing.
Oh, yeah. And you might have pissed your pants.
Or you were so drunk. You were so drunk you just puked in your bed.
And maybe. Oh, yeah. You're not even sure if if you pissed your pants or someone else pissed your pants.
Oh my God. That's a real fear.
Is this mine?
And so when life is this miserable, what do you turn to watch?
You know, in the age of binge watching, the options for hangover shows is large.
But that doesn't always mean that
when
you
want to. When I was a young
to.
Man, I was stuck watching Three Stooges and the Munsters while I hung over.
Well, we didn't all live in 1912.
I would say that actually, my parents didn't have cable when we were growing up, so the Golden Girls is still one of my favorite shows, but also I used to watch it a lot on Sundays when I couldn't move. Not that it's a favorite now, but it was one that I was kind of forced to watch even hungover, and I still enjoy it. Still love it.
Do they run that, like, in the mornings?
Yeah, they run it a lot.
Yeah. Well, now it's at night. Episode. Now it's kind of night.
It's an old people show. You can only run it in
the
morning.
Dude, it's the freaking best.
People are asleep by 3, man.
But, yeah. I actually found, a funny enough, similar title. I found a show that I actually really love watching when I don't want to move or think or do anything. Or even laugh, actually.
Depressing.
It just hurts to laugh.
Like, I because it's kind of like, you know where there's shows that you kind of appreciate, but you're not actually going to audibly laugh about it.
And so you just had that one moment where you go.
Yeah, you just kind of go like. It's the Gilmore Girls.
I fucking hate that show. I don't know why everyone loves it.
No, is that supposed to be funny?
Watch it. It's not. It's not really that funny.
No, it's supposed to be pretty serious.
But you kind of have moments sometimes where you just go. It's a really great hangover show.
Is that your choice, Gilmore Girls?
Gilmore Girls. Also, it doesn't matter if you like picked up the first episode or the last one. Like, you pretty much know the story.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we have a guest on the couch, as we mentioned in the intro. I'm just going to call you Killer because I think that's even funnier. Killer sounds like a very small mouse who could kill you if she needed to.
By
so, Gal on the couch, what is your I know what your answer is, but what is your favorite hangover TV watching?
My favorite hangover TV watching show is Ninja Warrior. Because, no, I have a very good reason. All and right. I've actually used Ninja Warrior in recent, no, not that recently. Because, you know, in those horrible morning moments when you're trying to wake up, you kind of open your eyes and it's on and you see that guy balancing on the tightrope thingy and he falls off and splash, and then you fall asleep because you hurt, and then you open your eyes and there's another guy on that balancing thing, and then he makes it across and you're like, oh cool, and then you go back to sleep, and then a few minutes later you wake back up and look, oh look at the guy on the bouncy thing, cool, and then you fall asleep, and then you open your eyes again and now there's another guy on a bouncy thing and you're like, sweet, I didn't miss anything.
Now I have a very important question. Are we talking American Ninja Warrior or are we talking the original Japanese?
American, because it's not as funny as the Japanese. Japanese, you actually have to pay attention. Yeah, it's freaking hilarious.
I love it. They walk up and they sink in the voices. It's like they jump up, they go, and he's a firefighter from Kyoto, and he jumps up and he goes, I love carrots! And then he...
Oh, yeah. That's totally like right. The mismatch. That's a different one. That's a different
but
movie.
But I feel... I would agree that it would have to be American, because like, you can't... Oh, you right. Don't want to laugh.
Yeah, let's like get death. Eliminated. No. It's that one.
Yeah.
That one is... Fuck, that's a different show. American Ninja Warrior was the... Yeah, I know. I don't know what happened right there. I've been drinking.
You must have short-circuited. Somebody's been paying attention to the news.
Somebody's been watching politics.
Wait, what happened?
Don't even address it.
Never mind. Moving on.
Or I will call you the leader and founder of ISIS.
What? What happened?
Nothing.
Keep going.
Stacks, you.
Oh, am I up? Wow, this is a rough one because there's just so much good stuff to watch when you're not feeling too great. Well, I mean, barring the just plethora of wonderful shows you can watch on Netflix, I used to do, God, I'm so damn old, it's embarrassing. I used to do a Family Film Festival.
Oh,
if anybody recalls
what's
Family
that?
Film Festival.
Like, I do.
Tom Hatton.
Wow.
They would run like movie after movie of like the cheesy 60s.
It was like Pippi Longstocking.
It would be Sinbad and the Seven Seas.
I liked that. I wish that they would make an updated version of that.
Well, again, like the Pippi Longstocking movies. Occasionally, they would start with Popeye cartoons in the morning. And so if I was still drunk and awake, I could enjoy Popeye for a little bit. And then during the breaks, you would draw it. But they'd also run like Danny Kaye movies.
Yep. Oh, I know the Bing Crosby.
The Bing Crosby, Bob Hope movies. God,
those are awesome.
Look, let me just state that this wasn't during the actual 30s. When I was watching these and hungover.
Sure you weren't buying war bonds and supporting them troops?
Oh, fuck you people.
I didn't say anything.
Oh my God.
I remember. Watched the same, so I'm freaking 1912.
I have a real important question.
Yeah.
When Popeye ate the spinach, did it look disgusting when you're hungover or delicious?
Anything in cartoons looks delicious.
I know, but when you're hungover, what does it
look? It looks wonderful in cartoon world, but actual spinach looks like shit.
What if it's baby spinach?
Ew, that looks like stuff that goes up baby butt.
Yeah.
Why are you asking
me
that?
Do you guys know that song?
I don't know.
When you're something, 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 and you're something, something,
when you're
something.
Sliding into third and you feel a sudden urge, diarrhea.
Why is it that everybody else knows the words? I don't know the words.
I don't know them, but Killer knows them all.
What's the other one?
Let's do it. Keep going.
No, any other verse.
Verse two.
No, it's the only one I know.
Oh, come on. You know it.
I don't.
When you're eating a burrito and something comes out your Speedo, diarrhea. Is that one?
I don't know that one.
I like that one.
Oh, man.
I don't know that
this
one.
Is quality podcasting right here.
We're teaching you guys.
There's a that one. Fuck, man, that was something that was in my school.
I don't know why it popped into my head.
A couple. Let's see. People used to say shit just to rhyme it. Didn't even like it wasn't even a thing.
All right, what's your show though? I thought
you were
going
to
go
come
into
on.
Your show.
My show?
Yeah.
Yeah, Hangover show.
Regular show.
Well, that's kind of like you have to laugh.
No, you don't.
That's okay. I don't. Regular show's all right.
And SpongeBob. SpongeBob,
too. SpongeBob's a great one.
That works. Yeah. That totally works.
Yeah, because I can laugh when I'm hungover. I just can't think.
Yeah, like, that's an important factor.
That's the only thing. It's like SpongeBob is like, fuck, man. Like, that's
I can't even laugh.
Well, there's a couple good ones that really work. I mean, like, was it The Amazing World of Gumball? Is terrific.
Yeah, that's a good one too.
And Wee Bear Bears is just, it's so stony. It's like your brain is already just kind of, it's perfect because it's unchallenging.
Yeah,
it's nice and soft and squishy.
For me, it has to be
your brain.
Yeah, and the cool thing about the shows like Regular Show and SpongeBob is they don't connect. Like, you can watch a bunch in a row and they have nothing to do with each other half the time.
Right, yeah. You don't have to pay attention.
So you can kind of just
like
sit there.
Like Gilmore Girls.
Plus, the fucking Mordecai and Rigby are hungover all the time. Like, that's part of their episodes start with them drinking a lot of soda. And then all of a sudden, they can't remember what they did.
Is that sort of the defining element of a good hangover show where you don't have to follow it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Nothing required?
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Mm-hmm.
I do like the fact that you're...
I feel like whenever you're
yours
given...
Yours is so far as to, like, I need to fall asleep and just see the same thing happen over and over again to
There's
feel
something comforting
okay
about
with
that.
Well, here's the thing about being hungover is I feel like when I'm hungover and someone puts responsibility on me, which includes following a TV show, I get super upset. Like, it's... Like, one time I've shown up to work hungover once before. And
once.
And I was very upset that I had to go to work and was expected. I mean, it didn't affect my performance.
Expected to do work.
But, yeah. I mean, that's something, you know, that's pretty rough. To have to know stuff and do stuff and, like, act like a normal person in society.
Yeah,
like,
no.
Part of being hungover is that people have accepted that you're worthless.
Yep.
And they just let you fucking do whatever you want. Like, what... I mean, I remember the...
Has anybody ever had to get up and run?
No.
Like, the day after? Like, you had to go do something, like, athletic the day after you're hungover?
Has you know what
ever,
the worst part...
Have you ever been put
through
that?
Not that I've had to, but I have.
You know what the worst
Why?
Part of being...
Why if you didn't have to?
No, don't do it. Why?
Because you're kind of on a schedule. Like
he had to run because
running.
He might have been drafted during World War II.
Bombshelter.
You suck. Okay,
anyways,
we're moving on from here. We got to move on.
The other thing is, the worst... I'm just going to say this one thing. The worst thing about
He's
being hungover is when someone says... You're hungover, huh? That's the worst. Have you ever gotten that? I got that from mom and dad. But like, they're
all like, you
drank too much, huh? And I'm like, don't point it out. I'll kill you. Like, nobody's ever said that. Like, nobody's ever made fun of you for being hungover.
Yeah.
That's the worst.
It's making me mad.
I hate it.
Yeah,
it's
mad,
like, yeah, I am. Yeah.
Whatever. You guys wore bonds and all that shit.
Anyways, okay, so round the tape really quick. I'm going with Family Film Festival and maybe the Munsters.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. American Ninja Warrior.
Yep.
I'll go with SpongeBob.
Oh, good call.
Golden Girls and Gilmore Girls.
It's all girls.
It's all themes.
These are all. And for a honorable mention, Friends.
Oh,
that's
Friends
a good one.
Can be watched
you
anytime.
Know what? Daytime,
anywhere.
Vegas
one.
Any daytime soap opera actually also works.
For some reason, Friends is always on the hotel TV in Vegas.
Always.
And I'm always hungover in the morning in Vegas. So it's perfect.
So there you go.
It works.
You're forced to like that one. No, but it's great. That
it
one's
is.
Actually
it
a good
works
one.
Great.
It's
okay.
Not unusual.
Weekly wrap up.
We had some shit going down this week. We
Sorry,
did.
Sorry, that's the Friends thing.
That was a pretty good clap.
Yeah, it was.
Okay, so it was a weekly wrap up, friend. Okay, there you go.
All right, you guys are up first with
you
Suicide
guys saw
Squad.
It. I didn't fucking watch it.
Okay, well, Suicide Squad. Came out this week.
Love it. Hate
refuse
it.
I refuse to watch it.
You know,
watching it, not
I
watching
didn't
it?
Hate it as much as our gal on the couch did. It sucked.
Fight.
I'm just letting you know, it did suck for lots of different reasons, but it didn't.
What
it
were its redeeming qualities then if you didn't hate it all the way?
No, because it's just a bland Hollywood movie with forgettable characters and comedy lines that fall flat throughout, but it's just dumb enough to make a ton of money. It's good for the whole family. Grandpa will appreciate it, and your 5-year-old won't be affected by it. It's great for everybody. It's kind of like how USA Today is written for sixth graders.
What?
Damn.
It is. It's written for sixth graders. So no, so everybody will pick it up and look at it.
I understand every word.
Wow.
So
I did not know that. Yeah. I don't really read it.
It's written at a sixth grade level.
I don't read so much.
I wash myself
with
the rag.
Well, then Suicide Squad is the movie for you.
I refuse to see it. Jeff, who has been one of our guests, swears by it, so if you want to.
Yeah, our writer for TT3, Jeff Gould, is wrong. Just letting you know, Jeff. Go ahead and.
He's going to fucking send you something. He's gonna hate you.
Or silencing him through all of this.
Oh, my God. No, it's bad. It's Will Smith playing Deadshot, but not playing Deadshot. He plays Will Smith. So if you've seen Independence Day or Bad Boys or
Wild Wild West,
Wild Wild West, it's pretty much that's the same character. Using exactly the same lines. So
was Deadshot born in West Philadelphia?
Born and raised with an AR-15.
With a dick in his butt?
With a dick in his butt. Yeah, it's not bad Will Smith. He's just Will Smith. He's not Deadshot. And let's see.
Welcome
and the
Earth.
Joker is a complete waste. They make Joker boring and not scary.
But he's 30 seconds from Mars, from what I hear.
Wow, that was terrible.
People will find it funny.
The real shit, no they won't. But seriously, Jared Leto can actually act, and he was a complete waste of space in that
I could have told you that from
position.
The previews, maybe.
Yeah, it's terrible. And now I'm not even touching on the fact that it's not even like Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
The comic. So if you read the comic, you will hate it.
Well, see, I'm a fan of New 52. So I'm going to have to preface my opinion with that because I'm sure there's old school people out there that are like, oh, you know, Suicide Squad was awesome back in the day, you know. And so I didn't start really reading it till New 52. So I will preface my opinion with that. But I loved New 52's version of Suicide Squad. I want dark. I want brooding. I want super ultra violent. And this was nothing. It was boring. The editing was totally horrible. And like they've done
I had told you, I heard really bad things about the editing. And when somebody points out editing, that's when you know it's bad.
Well, and then they do all these interviews with the actors and they're all talking about, oh, we did method acting. And oh, you know, Jared Leto brought in rat parts. And oh, wow, it was such a surprise. I'm sorry, if you have to tell people that you've method acted for your characters, you probably freaking suck. And they all do. All of them sucked. I hated all of the characters. I will say that El Diablo, which in the comic I do like that character, they kind of got that one somewhat right. I will give it that credit.
Well, I don't like Harley Quinn that much anymore because she's over loved in the cosplay community with the giant hammers, and we've all heard my argument with this, because now there's gonna be fucking Harley Quinns with short shorts and bats.
Yeah,
that's gonna be the new thing.
There already was.
I know there was a ton of them, but now it's gonna be ridiculous. And I think I agree that if you have to talk about how you prepared for something, generally you're not that good. Right. I've never heard Robert Downey Jr. say anything about how he prepares for Iron Man.
He just goes like this.
I'm Iron Man.
He just goes, I'm Robert Downey
Jr. That's me just moving my head around
cool.
a little bit.
But they made such a big deal out of it, the method acting. It was always,
what we're
talking about. Oh, wow, it was so shocking. And when you try that hard, it feels contrived and fake.
I feel like
everything
all of their
fake.
Interviews, they did a really big press tour for this.
Yeah. Well, it's a fucking DC movie.
No, but like, yes, they always do. But like, this was a pretty significant press tour. It also is a larger cast. They could cover a lot more ground.
Yeah.
So, but I felt like I was watching interviews leading up to it, like, freaking on like the Spanish channel and them interpreting shit, and I was like, what the fuck are they doing there? But anyways, is actually a really smart community to hit, but still, I agree with the PR person who got them on there. But at the same time, I actually have to say that I think we talked about it before, like from the get-go, their direction, like if I'm a director, I would have never. And I can't speak to what their roles are specifically, but as a director or a creative, like the creative head and lead of a movie, I would have never allowed my marketing to go out the way that it did. It looked like they cut out those characters and slapped them on spray painted walls.
Yeah.
And immediately what that tone created for me was there is none. Mm-hmm. Like there was no scene picture in billboards. There was nothing that gave me anything but the like X-Men evil guys standing there look cool look.
We'll see. And the other thing, okay, so Jeff.
But I haven't seen it, so.
I'll argue Jeff's
and
point.
And I won't see it until it's free.
The editing was because the people are psychotic, and I don't know. He made
He
made that thing.
That
might be a decent argument if they were psychotic in the film, but they made everybody a nice guy.
I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. Jeff, you're my friend. We're cool, but your opinion, and well, he knows. I don't agree with
it. So who do you think, what do you think is the biggest flaw in it, though? Is it the writing? Is it the directing? Is it the acting?
It's everything.
It's a disaster.
It's everything. Yeah, I
mean,
everything.
Killer Croc is, for some reason, comedic.
A big piece of shit?
Well, there's that.
No,
I heard he's like comedic relief a lot of the time.
They're all
like, what the fuck?
The kind of comedic relief.
Why?
They're not even really bad guys. Like Deadshot, who is a psychotic killer, doesn't give a shit about human life. Wants to die himself. He's just completely suicidal in the comics. He's kind of a sweet guy. He loves his kid. When he kills somebody, the one scene where he's just, it was like a mafia guy. You know, it wasn't like
he was moving on up.
Yeah, they actually, I mean, they had that one scene you saw in the previews where it has like Margot Robbie like break the window and steal something. He goes, well, we're bad guys. Well, that's like the only moment where they're really bad guys.
Well, and that's
she stole. That's like,
yeah, look at me. I'm a
like
bad
a
guy.
Misdemeanor.
Yeah,
but the comic relief part they used in all the trailers. So like the funny ha-has,
that's about as funny as it gets. Yeah.
And that wasn't that funny.
My most annoying thing was the use of classic rock songs just randomly.
That was horrible.
Seriously, in the first 30 minutes, there's like at least like 10 different songs just crammed in. With no thought to why they're there or what it's behind or what character they're attached to.
Fortunate Son.
That's why when I lost it, when they're like, it was Fortunate Son behind Killer Croc's montage.
Right.
I'm like,
it was
so the band from
an
California.
Vietnam War song behind Killer Croc.
The other
makes
thing
perfect
is,
sense.
Killer Croc.
So it has a 27% on Rotten Tomatoes. Do you guys, is that in line with how you feel about it?
I would give it about a 38.
I would give it a 10.
Damn.
Nice.
So it's
I guess 27.
Out.
Yeah, right.
Out.
All right. There we go.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, it was as bad as Jurassic World.
Well,
sorry.
Then you're wrong.
I hated that movie.
I actually thought Jurassic World was worse, but.
Oh, I thought they were equal.
I don't understand. Ooh. Never mind. We can't. Never mind. Scratch this whole segment. Can't take anyone seriously.
No, I mean the good actors that were in there are wasted. I'm guessing the direction is really the issue. But I mean, Jared Leto was terrible as Joker.
Well, an Enchantress. I mean, it was like
Enchantress,
really,
which is a great character. Oh. You want to see Enchantress? Read
is that
Just
Cara
Sleep
Delevingne's
Dark.
Character?
And
they ruined
it's
it.
Forgettable. Completely
totally.
Forgettable.
And there's a brother. Why? Stupid.
I almost forgot about him, actually.
Right.
Yeah.
There's no point.
Yeah, no point at all.
I think I read one review and they were talking about how it's pretty much like Ghostbusters. It's pretty much the premise.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
It
it's Ghostbusters. Yeah. It's hey, Jeff. It's pretty much Ghostbusters.
Oh,
the
man.
New
it's
Ghostbusters.
Oh, shit.
You're going to make it. He's going to kill us now.
Jeff's going to be so pissed at this episode. Jeff,
okay,
we love you.
Let's leave it behind and let's talk about Rogue One's new trailer.
Ooh.
Hold on. I have to speak my piece on this one. I like the trailer. I agree. The girl may not be as strong of an actress.
Those lines are terrible, too. It's not just her.
Well,
all of her
maybe
lines
she's rebelling against good
I
acting.
I rebel.
Anyways.
I don't think we've seen enough to know.
I don't think we've seen enough to know either. But I think those,
I think they need to rewrite her lines if they're like that.
I honestly think if you want strong female characters, which everyone keeps like trying to push into characters that are already developed, which makes no sense. And I will stand by my gender bending against gender bending. Just write a new fucking character. Star Wars is the only thing where they've actually done that.
But it's not about, I don't care. This is so funny. It's not about being female versus not. I love Rey.
I'm just saying, but I'm just saying, if we're going to talk about, you know, people like when they switched to Ghostbusters, like all they did was give Bill Murray's character to a girl and they didn't really do anything
all
with
right,
it.
So we've talked, but hold
my
on.
Only thing is everyone keeps saying stuff, but I'm just like, write a new thing. And I think Star Wars is the only one that's done it. It's point number one. I'm just saying. Let me explain. I'm saying point number one is that they're the only franchise that actually has built a new strong female character. Number two, I think the actors are pretty good in Star Wars. I will say my only gripe is the gratuitous Darth Vader shot. That's my only gripe.
That was terrible.
And the only reason I say that is because they're like, oh, fucking Darth Vader. Just throw him in. It had nothing to do with anything.
I agree. Well, I mean, it's just a trailer. But it was a lame shot.
It was a lame shot.
And there was no impact. It was just like, blink. I'll give you that. But everything else looked fucking great.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It looked cool.
I was all bonered.
I mean, boner. Don't
you were all boner.
All boner.
Past tense boner.
Yeah, I'm a boner now.
He's a fucking boner forest over there.
Yeah, I was bonering. Bonering. The progressive tense.
We've talked about Rogue One already, so I actually just want to see the different. My question is more between the first trailer and the second trailer. Is I don't really see what they were doing with the second trailer. I don't think that it did anything to give me a different perspective or a different anything.
I think they kind of gave us a little bit more of the
perverted justice.
No, the peripheral characters. the Forest Whitaker character was in there a little bit more in the I don't know about the Asian guy. I don't know.
He's a blind Force user, I feel.
Okay.
Because
you feel
he
he's
with the Force.
I feel that from him. No, the thing is, because he said he talks about the Force and then he beats a bunch of people up. He's just blind. So he obviously the Mira Luka, if you look into the extended universe of Star Wars, are blind Force using species. So I'm assuming maybe that's what he is.
Okay.
Characters
I don't understand.
I will say that they've changed the story because there was Bothan spies who stole the Death Star plans. I've not seen one single Bothan spy.
No, the whole Bothan angle I've heard people bring up a few times because we don't know who they are or what they are.
The thing is with the story trailer, you didn't really have to tell me a lot. I already kind of know the story. They stole the fucking Death Star plans. They gave it to Princess Leia and she lost it in the R2-D2 unit. We already know that part.
Did she lose it or put it
in
there?
Well, she put it in, but they kind of lost it for a while.
Yeah, because it was agendaed on an escape pod.
But
that wasn't good.
I'm just saying, I think with the new Leia. With the new trailer, it's showing you how it's going to be like... It's going to be like an action movie, not so much like focused on too much of the...
I did really like that shot where she's walking up against the TIE fighter. I thought that was a great shot.
I think when it comes up like that.
That was awesome.
That looked like a real face-off, and I was really excited as to what's happening in that moment.
And also when he shoots the rocket at the...
At the AT-AT?
Yes.
It is an AT-AT.
It's an AT-AT.
Jessica Chobot totally schooled me on that.
She did. She really did.
All right. Well, I have boners for Star Wars all the time. You guys know that. But I like to break down some things that I don't like, and I'm still just not appreciating this character.
I will actually give...
More specifically, her lines.
I will give it to you. I'm not feeling her in that spot yet.
I'm not feeling her strength.
I don't have enough yet.
Yeah.
Fair enough. I will say that, though, she's the only one that doesn't bother me as someone who I feel... was placed there based on, like, I know I'm going to sound kind of like a dick, but I'm saying, like...
a boner?
They don't want to... They're trying to push a lot of stuff just because they're saying...
Just a floppy dick.
They're trying to change a lot of characters just so they can say, like, we're progressive. And I feel like Star Wars is the only one that's...
Please, don't start with...
No, I'm just saying.
We had to watch guy movies fucking for the last 100
years. I'm not saying that it's bad. I'm not saying that it's bad.
A lot of guys are like, oh, you're putting girls in these guy spots.
No, you're not listening. I'm saying that you're putting them in movies where it's already, like, kind of done, and where Star Wars is doing it where it makes sense.
It's finally
it's
in the movies,
forward.
But it's always been in their universe.
Oh, no, I agree.
So Star Wars is moving it forward, whereas other movies aren't moving it forward. All they're doing is sticking girls in the roles, but not pushing things forward. They're just keeping them in roles that are already established that do not do any benefit to those characters, because all they do is give them the same characters as the males, which makes... There's no change there, whereas Star Wars is building a new character.
I agree.
That
they're
is
doing
a new
a great job with that.
Gender and actually
it's just
pushing...
a new good character.
Yes. Whereas other ones are just rehashes of old characters, so it doesn't actually advance anything, is what I'm saying. I'm not saying, like, girls can't take roles that guys do. Obviously, whatever. I don't care. But I'm saying that, like, with...
The Martian shows
from
you
what
that
I,
that's not
from
true.
What I saw from Ghostbusters, all they did was... give the same characters as those girls, and it was totally a waste of talent. Like, they didn't, you know?
Yeah, I know. We can leave. I get it. I mean, and they are talented, but let's start stop picking on Ghostbusters. It flopped and made like $130 million worldwide.
Man, I fucking chuckled and I enjoyed that crazy girl.
I heard good things about it. So.
I enjoyed it. I like it.
My problem is taking it.
Fuck
you.
Honestly, what they should have done is not treat. They honestly,
good day, sir.
Look, all I'm saying is they shouldn't have done it as a reboot.
Let's talk about Gen Con a little bit. And
all right, I'm not in this one anymore. So I'm done. Just kill me.
Cool.
Whatever.
No, we're agreeing with you. That Star Wars is doing a great job of taking an established universe and moving forward with female characters. But I mean, people are giving people shit because they made one of the characters in Star Trek gay. And I'm like, who gives a shit, you know?
Yeah,
well, that's
the most
the thing
liberal,
we have to get over. Who gives a shit?
I'm the most liberal guy you'll meet, but it needs to be. What?
You're sitting in a room with me.
Yeah, what? You're not that liberal.
You're
you and
not
I are
as
not
liberal
that
as
liberal.
Me. I'm super
fucking
liberal.
Funny.
Nah. All right, anyways. Mm. Gen Con. So this will be really quick. I went to Gen Con again for a second time.
Gen Con!
If you guys like, I just have to say that if you like tabletop gaming or role play games, then you need to go to Gen Con. It is only convention where it is legitimately a place that you want to go and sit down and play these role playing games till like 3 a.m. It's not just like this, like kind of maybe. Sometimes there are good sections, sometimes there are weak sections of tabletop gaming within a convention. The entire convention is all about it. That's all they want to do all day long. All the hotels around there are all running games with like round circles and like playing different role-playing games. I think the company that I went with, they run Titan's Grave, which was a thing like a role-playing game that was built on top of the Fantasy Age engine. And I think they played 80 games over the course of 4 days.
Wow.
Role-playing games take a really long time.
They do.
It is one session, but it is still like 4 hours, and they had a ton of GMs, and I think that they did play about 80 games. So if you are into that kind of thing, there's no convention like it. So I just highly recommend it for that, plus the fact that all the panels are very much geared towards that. So you can learn about a new game, sure, but there's other like cool things that you might learn. Or if you're interested in making a game, publishers, they're all there at that time. It's a really cool time. Plus, if you want cool dice, like that is where you need to be.
Mm. Like, can you give us like, did you play some of the new or see any of the new stuff that you thought would be a good recommendation?
I was working. I get no time to play anything. I'm blanking. There
what was the
one
you just mentioned? That
Titan's Grave from last year. It was a hit last year through Geek & Sundry, actually. And it's a role-playing module. It's just an adventure book that sits on top of another engine.
Oh, okay.
So this year we actually announced like Critical Role is doing their adventure book that can play with 5th edition D&D.
Oh,
so
nice.
So it's kind of adventure modules, things that help GMs, DMs, go through stuff like that. I actually saw a bunch of Call of Cthulhu things, and I wanted to get you one, but they were all really expensive. But it wasn't the expensive part. It was the fact that I never look at what books you're holding on to, so I had no idea which ones you had.
Yeah, when we were at Comic-Con this year, they re-released the older version of the role-playing Cthulhu, because we were playing the 1990s D20 version, and the other one was out of print. The Chaosium book, and they had republished it, so I picked that up at Comic-Con. So I'm going to be using that, and that's exciting because I think that's a better, more deeply.
So Richard Butte's Spooky Dicks is going to be on.
but it was just really cool because what they had there was like different. Some of them were like books that were written during the time that this book was in, or that role-playing game came out and was very popular. So some of them are just excerpts about it,
awesome.
While other ones are actual like adventures that you could play over it. And I was like, there was like 6 of them there that looked like really legit and amazing. But I was like, I have no idea which one's actually useful and which one's just a giant paperweight. And the guy couldn't explain it to me well enough. So that was amazing. And there is I'm going to have to, next podcast, I will come back. There is one game that everybody's kind of talking about. The one that I'm really excited to play because I backed it is Secret Hitler, and it had a deluxe edition. It did have a deluxe edition at Gen Con that was like in a really nice box and really pretty and super awesome.
Wow. Well, I'm pretty deep into 5th edition now because I'm playing Out of the Abyss, the campaign with some students, and it is. People have already been saying this for a couple of years now, but the fifth edition streamlining of Dungeons and Dragons is a success.
It's
and
then it's wonderful to jump into,
and the adventures that they're coming out with are just great. It's so good. Yeah.
So we did that. We also actually did a live event in front of 1,000 people watching nerds play role-playing games there. It's awesome. Really just that kind of community where you can sell a theater for 1,000 people to come watch. And that was really...
You're in the wrong business.
Yeah, it was really fun though. But yes, Gen Con is, if you are into role-playing games, tabletop games, like Magic the Gathering, go to this convention if you are a con-goer. This is the one you don't want to miss out on.
Okay, so I'm gonna roll on to nice. The right game because we're gonna do kind of a. I'll make this relatively quick because we have a kind of a quick show tonight. But so I picked up a copy at Target because there was a big rack of them.
Yeah,
a copy of Harry Potter and the Cursed Child.
But there's another Harry Potter?
Parts 1 and 2. No, that's the answer. Well, no, there's not another Harry Potter.
Oh,
here's what it is.
Stuck
well,
his name on the fucking book.
If you haven't heard, J.K. Rowling essentially licensed the writing of a production, a play, live play. And she wrote, I guess, the story for this and have two other writers write the play, which is...
The play that has the, black Hermione.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. John, Tiffany, and Jack Thorne were the writers.
I've not heard of this play.
It apparently was a smashing success. And
smashing.
It's smashing.
And in a monocle to say that, smashing.
Smashing.
I just think of the wild thornberries.
Very brilliant.
Godzooks.
Godzooks. It was absolutely smashing. I don't know why. I don't know why it was smashing. Because it sucks. I'll say a couple things about it. It's not... Okay, getting through it, it got better. And I would say the one thing that does save it, because it's not written by J.K. Rowling, her books are fantastic. And she's a fantastic writer who does great research and not in the least the development of her characters in detail, but also in the myth and traditions and fables and culture that encompasses that world. These guys don't know shit.
The only thing they
seem to know is the books that J.K. Rowling put out, because this is just a big cocksucking of Harry Potter fans.
Did they get all the jizz out?
Apparently, if it was smashing,
it was smashing.
They smashed dead ass.
Okay, let me give you a more mature.
No need.
No, it's very problematic. The dialogue feels incredibly inauthentic. So the characters that have been well established by the original writer don't say things that actually sound like the original characters. One of my favorites is when they have, I think it's, well, the main character, if you don't know, is the son of Harry Potter, Albus, and the son of Draco Malfoy. Those are the main characters. And
where's Taurus and Gemini?
And well, there is Delphi. So real original. Two young boys and a young female character are the main characters. I wonder where they got that idea from. There's a line in there where actually I think it's Scorpius. His line is something. So he's talking to Albus because Albus is sort of the dickhead, teenage, son to Harry. Says something like, it was Harry Potter that proved that, we could be successful in the wizarding world. And I'm like, why would the fuck would a wizard say the wizarding world? You know who says wizarding world?
Not wizards.
Fans of Harry Potter, not muggles who don't know anything about the wizarding world, and not wizards who live in the fucking thing. But there's lots of lines like that. We're like, It sounds like it was a play written for Harry Potter fans because they hit all the greatest hits. So the invisible cloak makes a little showing, and the little time turning thing makes a showing, and they use the
map
The Polyjuice, the Transform, the three of them. It's like the same, the map. They use the Marauders map comes
do
up.
Do they play Quidditch?
They don't do Quidditch. Oh. Yeah, it's not a major part.
So at the end of the play, they were like, the Wizarding World of Harry Potter.
But they do the Triwizard Tournament. It's all time travel gimmicks. Like the easiest bullshit, you know, trick. It's Deus Ex Machina the whole time. How do we fix this? We'll just have them go back. The whole damn thing. Mm. So, I mean, if you're like a Harry Potter fan, you'd be like, yay, I get to see that again. Yay, I get to see that again. But you don't really get anything new. Yeah. The story actually does some pretty neat stuff towards the end. You're like, oh, that's pretty cool. But it's all bound around this idea of being going to be able to go back.
So it's very
two,
much.
Three, four times so we can see something else neat that didn't happen in the original world just to fix it at the end to back to the same.
You mean the Wizarding World?
The Wizarding World. Yeah.
So Harry Potter now at Universal Studios.
A very glorified fan.
It is. It's there. It's fan fiction. That's exactly how it reads. And obviously it's not a novel, so it's not going to have the detail in the novel. It's written like a play, but it's so basic. There isn't a single conversation that's interesting in it.
Basic bitches.
On a scale from Deese to Pumpkin Spice, how basic is it?
Which end is the good end?
You don't know. That's what being basic is all
about.
If
I was a 12-year-old Harry Potter fan, this might be just sort of a kind of a fun read, you know. But it's written more for like the 9-year-old Harry Potter fan. I don't think they would even really appreciate it that much. I don't know why Rowling would even license something like this.
Dang.
Wow.
I really don't.
It didn't make him cream his jeans.
You think about the care and detail she had with her
yeah,
novels.
That's true. She actually does donate a lot of it too.
No, I think Rowling's amazing. There's no doubt about it. She has she's an amazing writer and a talent.
Yeah.
And her books prove it. This has none of that. And you figure it out pretty quickly. You're reading it and you're just like, what's something's gone terribly wrong here. It's yeah. And I'm not the only one that's feeling this. I've talked to a number of people that have read it and they're like, yeah, it's like it's
when
super
did it come
disappointing.
Out? The book.
Like
July
31st.
Yeah, it's recent.
Oh, yeah.
So you weren't bonered.
Not bonered at all. No,
no
boners.
No boners.
Zero boners.
Only Rogue One.
Chubbies? It's a little. I think I can get arrested for getting a boner reading Harry Potter.
Oh man.
Yeah, pretty sure.
It's
yeah.
Kind of
awkward.
Yeah, but they all show up. It's like you know, and Hermione's there, and Harry's there, and Ron's there. Ron's wrong too. Ron's like basically running like the funny you know store that his brothers that you know are no longer with us.
The ones that are dead.
Yeah, but he's all goofy like them, and it's like that's not Ron. That was the brothers. Don't make Ron like them. That's not his character. It's not good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really not good. Anyway, so go pick up your copy of Harry Potter.
Yeah, he sold it.
And the Cursed Child. The only thing that is interesting is some of the twists that take place that are in the story. And obviously, Rowling had a say in how the story went, so that makes sense. But yeah, it's not worth what I paid for this thing. No way. Yeah,
so you can buy your copy and then use it as toilet
paper.
No,
you know, I usually don't advocate for this thing, but I'm going to steal it. Find it, find it online. You know, buying a $30 copy of this is super not
it's
worth it.
It's a $30 book.
Yeah, and it's not a book. It's the play. It's the play. It's the working copy. You know, with notes. It has like even like how they should express themselves, and those are cheesy too. Yeah. I mean. It's a poorly written play.
Well,
it's a poorly written
play. Did get
smashing
reviews.
Yeah. No, I think they're just in love with the fact that it's, you know, a new Harry Potter story, which it's not a new Harry Potter story at all. It's a rehashing of the old stories. Nothing new about it.
It's the leftover jizz.
I mean, if you get to the end of it, to be honest, it doesn't matter that any of this took place. None of it. Yeah,
that's
dumb.
That's unfortunate.
Nothing changes except for maybe because there's like this, you know, it's father and son. Like I guess they kind of like each other at the end. That's it. Spoiler alert. But yeah.
Oh, you fucked it.
Hey man, I was pretty minimal on the spoilers in that run. I pretty was. Other than saying that it sucked. Spoiler. Anyways, okay, so. On we go. Let's do some advice.
We're gonna send him quick fun advice. We've done this in different ways before, but we're gonna talk about the friend zone. We're gonna talk about.
I'm gonna stay out of this one actually.
Besides,
I'll make it longer.
No, you won't.
Besides being more attractive, is there actually a way out of the friend zone?
No.
No, there isn't.
I don't even know what you're talking about, so you have to explain this to me.
Shut up.
I don't. I don't have any friends.
So say
back
okay.
in the day, you were a friend zone at one point.
Back in World War One.
Yeah,
back in,
World War One.
Yeah. Well, actually, no. Back then, you just dated for a week, and you got married after you bought
the
stove.
Battle of the Somme.
After the Battle of the Bulge, I think he was a veteran.
That's
World War
Two. But then
I'm not a vampire.
But then here's the argument against the fact that people can't battle out of the friend zone is that some people do start off as friends, but were they actually ever in the friend zone? If that's the case.
Fuck. I don't know, man. Guys look at friends a different way than girls do, so...
Yeah, that's true.
I really don't know. I mean, personally, me...
Staying out of it, I see.
I'm pretty honest about where I come from, like, in terms of what my intentions are.
Earth?
Not exactly. Well, yes, I guess. Both a little bit. Like, I'm pretty honest about my intentions up front. I don't stick around to get put in a friend zone.
See, and I've always been friends with people that I've dated before. But I guess at some level, in some degree, they weren't friend zoned. It was like, I could like you. Right. Maybe I'm not going to push this feelings right now, but
Here's what for me personally, what I've noticed is I'm friends with them in the sense that they like me and we can have a conversation and not feel threatened by me or me feel weird from them, but we've never really gotten, like, we don't hang out on a regular basis, we don't see each other on a regular basis. Like, there's a lot of distance in between when you're friends. It's a very distanced relationship, I guess, in terms of, like, a lot of my friends that are girls, I spend extended amounts of time with them and don't feel like those are the girls that I know. I'm like, nah, I'm not gonna.
Well, I think you have to ask yourself, would you be cool seeing them naked?
That's totally it. No, that's it.
Guys are
it.
Cool with seeing anything naked.
No?
No.
That's not true.
No.
Yeah. Think about that for just a second.
Oh, my gosh.
He's from the 50s.
See, that's why we have a guest on a couch. That
Stop
is
it.
Totally it. No matter what and in what part of the relationship you are in, if you cannot see yourself doing them, you don't. You're never going to.
Right. Yeah.
No, you can. You can. Yeah.
No, not
no,
if you're not.
Not
if you were like.
You guys are so pessimistic.
So women actually think that way, huh?
Fuck
yeah. Of course
yeah.
they do.
Yeah, of course. That's how we know, because if we look at a guy and we're like,
why do you think I get
friends?
Left at the curb every now and then?
We're friends, but I'm like, oh, yeah, no, we're like brother and sister. Uh-uh.
Yeah.
They're, no,
you
I don't
keep that.
Do
you keep
see,
that.
See, and that's where I struggle, because
away.
I have this Adonis-like figure that everyone wants to see naked, and I have to.
Yeah, me too.
It's
yeah.
not. It's not about the figure.
No.
It's not about that at all. Otherwise, like, half of the world wouldn't be in a relationship, not being
Whoa.
Offensive. Not being offensive. I'm saying that, well, of course, we all look at the freaking Chris Hemsworth of the world and go, that's a nice figure. It isn't about that.
Even
I
look at the Chris Hemsworth of the world.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
I look a lot like Chris Hemsworth.
All right.
No, my eyebrows do.
But I do think that you're absolutely right. It's just, it has nothing to do with what the body type is. It is the attraction that the person has to it. And I think that for women, on some level, you always have to, that answer to that question has to be yes, or at the very least, maybe.
Maybe.
And then their personalities or other sure. can persuade you.
Yeah.
Fuck. That's going to make me feel more terrible when I get rejected now.
Well, there you have it.
You're just they're going to be like, no, I just don't see us
so
dating. I'll be like, fuck, I'm ugly.
What do
I'm
you,
terrible. I'm so ugly.
They just don't want to fuck you. That's all.
What do you think?
That doesn't help.
Well, that doesn't help.
How do you best figure out where you stand?
You just fucking ask.
What's the answer?
The answer is soul crushing, or all right.
But some girls are nice.
Some fuck. I don't. This is why I don't like talking.
Well, they're not
going
to be nice enough to just fuck you because they're nice.
Well, no, you're not going to get a pity fuck. No, almost
pity
never.
Fuck.
Almost
pity
never.
Fuck.
Pity fuck.
I think that's part of what I mean by like you have to know a girl well enough to gauge what her mannerisms are. So like I've known a lot of girls who are just nice and will be like, well, we're we're just friends.
But then they never like really pull through.
They
on
never,
anything.
Yeah, and they never commit to anything specifically or anything, and that just fucking means just give up.
For our guest on the Hatchet Killikina, has anybody ever like made you think, oh, maybe I can bring them out of the friend zone? Have you ever had like a moment in your past where you were like, oh, but then they kind of like either were thrown back in or
no, no, because like sometimes it starts out. Like, yeah, we're friends, but he's kind of, you know, he's kind of cute. And we'll kind of flirt a little bit, and there's a little sparkle there. And then it goes on too long, and you're like, okay, now we're just friends, and it's all good, but now we're friends. But
so
now
it's only like, the other way.
Doors shut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Only
so what
way.
You're saying is men need to make their move and quick.
They need to make their move quick. Yes.
Fuck.
What is the best thing that a guy can do in order to, if they were on the border, what is the best thing that they can do in order to jump into the non-friend zone?
Drink and just go for it.
I actually think that it is doing something that most men have forgotten, which is being a true gentleman.
Oh, that is fuck.
No, I do. No. If you were on the fence, I'm not saying if you're going to get friend zoned regardless. I'm saying if you are on the fence, somebody being that extra bit of polite or picking up a check or just being a good person could, for me,
I've done
opening
that.
The door, whatever, could, for me, and I'm saying for me, that would be my thing. So I'm asking, not you, because I don't care, and you're a dude. I'm asking, Killikina, if there was anything that a guy could do push you over the edge, or would
She's
it just be like a
She's agreeing with me
friend?
Already. Can tell.
Or would it just be like a situational thing?
Oh, this is a long time ago. pre-Staxes, many moons ago. I guess it kind of depends, and it is somewhat situational. But usually it's kind of like a typical dating situation where you're like, oh, yeah, I want to go see the new Harry Potter that's coming out. Yeah, that sounds awesome. Let's go. And there's kind of that friendship already. We have something in common, and we have good conversation, and now he just asked me to go to a movie. Cool, let's see what happens.
Exactly.
And that's
see?
Kind of where it's at. All right. But after a year or 2 years,
like,
and then, yeah, no, yeah, then we're buddies now.
Yep.
He's my drinking buddy, and it's all good.
You
but,
get,
yeah,
definitely a year, no. And you're a buddy.
Done.
You're
uh-huh.
done.
Yeah, and as a dude with the whole being a gentleman thing, I'm nice just because I'm a nice guy.
I think all guys should be gentlemen all the time. Don't get me wrong.
I pay for shit and stuff, and sometimes I'm like, fuck, I could have read that earlier and been like, you know what? Let's split this one. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you have to really, that's not fair, because as a guy, you have to be very, you can't be.
You have to be strategic, or you're going to spend
yes.
a lot of money. I agree.
Yes.
I agree.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, okay, guys, we got to get real on here.
All right, let's go.
Where's that little computery thing?
Yeah, where were you when we needed you?
There you go. Oh, that's jizz.
I thought the same thing, but I didn't say it out loud.
Wow. My mind didn't even go there.
And now
that's
you're
amazing.
Out of the friend zone.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
That's how the friend zone sound. Oh, yeah.
No, that what?
Boom.
That's friend zone. That's kind of bonery.
That's bonery.
That's banging.
That's
banging. Very melodic.
Okay, so quick final words. We're going to be seeing Sausage Party.
I can't wait for you guys to see it. I want to see it.
We'll give you guys some feedback on that next
time. We like talking food.
I got to pee really bad.
And Milo's got to pee. You got anything going there, Cloud?
Nope. Oh, I'm going to go see the Guillermo del Toro.
Ooh.
That's right. Guillermo del Toro has a museum exhibit.
In LACMA, so I'll probably...
For her birthday.
That sounds awesome.
But yeah, I'm going to go see that. So you can buy tickets. It's separate from just the LACMA exhibit. And I'll let you guys know what I think about it. But how much I love
with Jimmy. Happy birthday, Cloud.
Thanks.
Yeah, it's Cloud's birthday. Yay.
I'm old. Huzzah!
And then what am I doing? I'm doing homework. That's it. Sing cool. Sausage Party.
Sausage party.
Hey, okay, let's go get some sausage. And party with it.
Oh, wow. I would just like everybody to know that I'm not attending this sausage party.
I'm a little scared now, actually.
Good luck.
Cloud, you want to come?
No, I'm good.
Yay.
Have a good week, everybody.
Come on, Milo. Let's go get some sausage.
I'm good now. I just want to go home.
Have a great week, everybody.
Bye.
Bye, everyone. Sausage. When you're